All right, welcome back, everybody. Here we are once again for another main feed episode. And Dom, you know, it is fair to say that some of the topics we have chosen, particularly in recent weeks, may have been a bit unexpected or a bit of a stretch. This week, we are really back to test that theory.
No, this is highly topical. There have been so many polls that have cropped up on Twitter over the past few weeks, and so many threads to the effect of, like, you know, if you want to engage a man in conversation for an hour, just ask him what animals he think he could take in a fight. And hey, we have an hour to fill and an hour to kill, and so we thought we would ask each other what animals we think we could take in a fight.
Yes, so this is, as you referenced, something that has been making the rounds at the time of this recording. It may already be a little bit past the point of peak which animal could you fight discussion time, but for anyone in the future, I promise this was actually a thing that went at least semi-viral. I am looking at a kind of recap of the results here on one of my go-to websites, Mental Floss, but the original poll was run by, let me find it,
There's I want to say YouGov America, or that's one of them at least. There may well be more, but those are the results that I'm looking at here at the moment. But I don't think we need to worry about this being tied to a particular time or being outdated or anything, because this channels something deep within the human id that I feel like this topic comes up over and over again, and has been a campfire talking point since the days of the Neanderthals, who maybe have a better perspective of what animals they could fight than we do, but we'll see.
Yes, you are right. YouGov is now what I am seeing as the original source, at least of the numbers that we will talk about, presumably, along the way here. And you are totally right. This is nowhere near the first viral internet content I've seen talking through the concept of violent interactions with animals that will hopefully never come to be. And let me begin by saying, we are going to be talking purely in hypothetical terms. I am an animal lover. I know Dom is an animal lover, and neither of us actually wants to do any harm to any of these animals. This is 100% just an intellectual exercise, and us perhaps telling on ourselves about how weak-willed we each respectively are, probably. That would be my guess, although I don't know exactly where the line is going to be for me and where the line will be for Dom. So we will see. Maybe Dom is one of these people who's brazenly overconfident.
Honestly, the disclaimer that we should be offering is that no animals are trying to fight us. No fragile human podcasters were harmed in the making of this episode.
Okay, so the question, and actually I was going to say, this is, again, far from the first time. I definitely remember, and I'm now, of course, blanking on the specifics, but there's a very famous Reddit thread from at least a decade ago, probably at this point, about would you rather fight 100... It's like a duck-sized something or 100 something. So what's the other animal, Dom? The classic.
It's a horse-sized duck or many duck-sized horses, which to address that quickly, not to go off on a tangent at all, but I feel like people don't really appreciate how certain anatomical aspects of certain animals scale once you engorge them to various different sizes. So, you know, if certain animals, for example, have certain mating rituals involving certain body parts, being very proactive with those. And if those are suddenly 20 times the size and still just as fast, that suddenly starts to look like a blunt weapon that can be used against any kind of human competitors. So worth bearing all of that stuff in mind as we get into some of these discussions here. But for the sake of argument, these will all be the regular size of each of these animals, which is in some cases going to be very large, some cases going to be very small, but all of them pack a mighty punch.
Okay.
That's for sure.
And I do think we may find our limit a bit sooner, at least I will probably find my limit a bit sooner than some of the respondents, is that a term, that answered this survey. So along the way, we will begin in the way that the question is presented of you are unarmed. I do think, Dom, at a certain point, we may start factoring in, like, could you take this animal in a fight if you had a knife or some other weapon? That we'll try to find a line there as well. And I will probably reiterate then that I am not actually trying to stab any of these animals, but I also think it could be interesting to see where the line is on which animals we think we could potentially take together, Dom, if we work as a team along the way here.
Well, there's also the question of what does this fight actually involve? Is it we just need to induce some kind of fight or flight response? We're defending our territory here, and if we get the animal to flee out of fear or just, you know, perhaps boredom, then that's a victory in and of itself. Or is this, you know, we enter the arena, two men, or I guess one human, one animal enters, and one of those is going to leave, and you know, it's going to be a fight to the death, in which case some of the answers may well change.
Okay, I don't know exactly where I land on that, because it may be a situation where the intent is you just get them to more or less tap out and that counts as a win, versus you have to actually kill this animal and it's never going to stop giving up on attacking you until it is dead. God, I'm already so horrified about how much discussion there's going to be about animal violence in here, and I really feel bad about that. But let's begin, I believe, with the animal that the highest percentage of people felt comfortable being able to beat in a fight. I am one such person, Dom. 72%, only 72%, which is sounds kind of low to me. A rat is the first animal on the list here. Are you one of the 28 that is already quaking in your boots?
So as we get into this part of the discussion, you know, for many of these, it's going to be really that many people were so delusional that they thought they could take a fill in the blank here. In the case of a rat, it's almost highlights the weakness of humanity that, oh, that a full quarter of the population didn't think they could take a rat. Are you kidding me? But, you know, rats can be very scary. And if we're talking about a large rat, there are definitely people for whom just the mere sight of a rat or the sight of a rat in a distant corner of a house is enough to send them shrieking into a dark room somewhere. So if that's the case, then, you know, rats pick up a few W's on the house there. But I feel like if you're someone who does not, your blood does not curdle at the mere sight of a rat, I think you can pretty safely take that one for granted.
Yeah, I feel very comfortable about my ability to kick a rat. And probably if a rat were chasing after me, would eventually bring myself to do so, although again, not unprompted. And I'm only talking about this in the hypothetical of somehow the rat knows that it needs to take you down and you need to take the rat down. I feel good about my ability to overcome a rat. So I don't know how much.
Well, we also have to factor in, you know, there's surviving the immediate bout, and then there's surviving the aftermath. Whatever grievous injuries you suffered during the fight, or any terrible diseases that you might have contracted along the way. And, you know, rats are vectors for disease, if nothing else. And, you know, if this is a rat with, I don't know if rats can carry rabies, but you get the gist here. You know, if you might walk away with something which does not bode well long term, even if you conclusively trounce the rat in the moment.
I agree with that, although I think, like, that would be a very real concern of mine if I did find myself battling against a random rat. For the purposes of this exercise, I think only one exception along the way here, I'm going to be assuming that these are disease-free animals that are not going to do lasting harm beyond whatever, like, scratches, etc. I might get along the way in the event that I were telling the world and myself that I could overcome them. So rat, I feel very comfortable with. And this next one, I also feel pretty comfortable with. And it seems like most people do as well. The rat was 72% of people. A house cat came in with 69%, nice, of the population feeling like they could overcome that. And again, I feel I'm going to try to stop saying this so much. Like, just even thinking about attacking a house cat feels very strange to me. And I'm extremely self-conscious about putting a publicly recorded podcast, privately recorded, publicly distributed podcast out there talking about the mere prospect of violence against house cats. But we will hopefully find ourselves with listeners who understand the context here, and I can stop being annoying about that and saying it every time. I feel good about my chances against certainly your cat Ravioli, Dom.
Well, I don't know. I do not feel good about my chances against my cat Ravioli, who I bear the scars from this. Several times a day, Ravioli wakes up and chooses violence, and I'm the one who bears the brunt of that. And so I think this is, you know, the animal kingdom can rest assured that this is where I personally slot in the metaphorical food chain here. You know, I'm tapping out from most bouts against a house cat.
You feel like if push came to shove and your life were on the line, you would not be able to overcome a house cat?
I mean, I'm sure I would. I wouldn't not feel great about it, but like, there are some animals in this list which, like geese, for example, full-on sociopaths, gonna have no moral reservations whatsoever about going, you know, full-on against a goose. But I feel like for some of these more domesticated animals, I'm gonna, you know, not be giving it my all.
Okay, I think it is pertinent to bear in mind that, as far as I am concerned, at least, this is a situation where we have no choice but to overcome this animal. And in that kind of hypothetical, I do feel like I could take down the average house cat, although I'm sure plenty out there would be very capable of testing that theory. But I am still continuing along the team. I could do this with my bare hands. Are you one of the 31% who would feel uncomfortable about your chances against the cat?
I'm not taking it for granted. I'll say that much. But okay. In any case, as we move swiftly on here, we get to geese. And I don't know if what kind of geese
silly geese, these are. Probably.
Silly geese. Well, I mean, I feel like just engaging with this question in the first place makes you the silly goose in this discussion. But I don't know if these are just weak-willed American geese or, you know, strong, virile Canadian geese. Exactly what type of geese we're dealing with here.
I don't know either, although I would first and foremost be much more comfortable, I think, fighting a goose than fighting a cat, just because I don't have a lifetime of sentimental feelings towards geese, and perhaps inversely, I am not a bird guy in general and would have far fewer reservations about pursuing some sort of violent tactics against them. Not that I am by any stretch rooting for birds to just die haphazardly or advocating for...
Look, we get it. You're a pacifist, you're an animal lover, so on and so forth, but look, come on, the stakes are clear here. It's a bare-knuckle fight. But
this is the thing, is I did not know until you had presented it to me moments ago that geese were necessarily sociopaths. I've just always found them both scary and annoying, but I do feel good about my ability to kick a goose if need be, and that alone makes me feel comfortable, although I now recognize geese can probably fly, now that I'm thinking about it, and it would be a much different story if the goose took to the air and was attacking me from above. I would feel much worse about my chances there,
if this was some kind of a open air battle royale situation where you know, siege warfare and starvation could come into play, yeah, the goose is just flying up into a tree and it's just going to wait you out, and you know, as soon as you run out of food and or water, and you know, you don't have food because your food is the goose, which is 20 feet up in the air, then I think the goose is going to get the better of you there.
The goose is, I'm going to be the cooked goose in this equation. Yeah, and incidentally, I think I would still answer yes to this, just on the grounds that if the goose were somehow forced to stay on land, I would feel very comfortable there. I could see it being in practice the case that a goose would absolutely wreck me. Worth noting, I don't think we brought this up, 61% feel comfortable against the goose, so a slight step down against the rat and the house cat, but still the majority of people, and I don't know that this is where I'm going to draw the line, although we are probably getting pretty close to that point. But I would still say I feel comfortable barehanded against a goose, although I would not begin to enjoy it, despite my general disdain for birds.
So we've covered your general mortal fear of really animal kind in general over previous episodes here. What animals could we introduce into the mix where you would be one of the 4% or whatever single digit it would be who would not fancy their chances against them? A sheep, for example,
yes,
perhaps?
That's what I was going to say. I don't think sheep are on this list anywhere, but I think sheep would be my number one irrationally feared animal just because they really creep me out. I've never enjoyed any kind of interactions with a sheep. And yes, as someone from New England, I have had occasion to encounter sheep in the past. They're always weird and smell bad and are terrifying, and their eyes creep me out. And I think a sheep would be the one that most people would probably say, yeah, I could absolutely deal with that. I could see myself just running the other way against a sheep.
Well, to represent the pro-sheep side of the argument here, I will direct any listeners who are not aware of this already to Andrea Belke's separate sheep Instagram feed, where she's back on her farm, I think, for the time being, and she has some adorable baby sheep there and is posting pictures and videos of those constantly. So I want to say that's Shelley and Sean over on Instagram. You can find that without too much trouble. But that's
Gonna take my opportunity to divert listeners away from that. Domin is pro sheep propaganda here is not what you need in your life.
I'm gonna let the listeners make their minds up for themselves there.
But sorry if you had more on sheep, but I do want to bring up because this is part of why I am so irrationally perhaps terrified of animals in general actually has to do with specifically Andrea Belke, where this is granted a much larger animal than we have discussed to this point, but I am also someone who is deeply uncomfortable around horses, which I know is not necessarily the case for many people. If hopefully there are others out there and I don't sound like a complete wimp here, but Andrea famously loves horses and has spent her whole life around horses and is professionally trained to interact with horses. And I would imagine a lot of those interactions have gone very well. At the same time, and I don't mean to bring up too many negative memories along the way here, but I definitely remember in whatever it was, like 2013, 2014, while Andrea was still relatively new on the Survivor scene, this person who has spent her entire life around horses pretty much every day, had some sort of disastrous situation go down where like one of the horses lost its cool for half a second and ended up like kicking her in the face or something. And it was a horrible situation. And like, that is the concern for me, is even for the people who do know what they're doing, it seems like there are often situations that still manage to go awry. And I just want no part of that.
Yeah. A horse, for some reason, shockingly absent from this list, but I do wonder what the consensus would have been there. But one final thought on geese before we move on. Have you seen the inside of a goose's mouth before?
I sure haven't, but I'm ready to find out that they... Maybe I'm totally making this up. Do geese have, like, blue tongues or some sort of weird characteristic along those lines?
As I'm discussing this, Google for yourself geese tongue or geese teeth, which kind of gives you a sense of where this is going. But inside their beak, their tongue also has these sharp, ridged teeth on it, which is terrifying to look at when you just, even from the comfort of your living room, the safety of just looking at this through Google. And this is, you see what I mean?
I'm literally shuddering right now. Like, I have chills down my spine looking at this, although they do not have blue tongues. I got to close out of this. I can't keep looking.
And so, firstly, when we talk about, you know, would you rather take on horse-sized duck or duck-sized horses? If it's a horse-sized goose, that might be a whole different question, because that thing is going to be fucking lethal, and it's going to end you on the spot right there and then. But also, this is, I mean, I'm no biologist, I'm no, what's the word for study of dinosaurs, whatever. This is the best surviving proof to me that there's some kind of a dinosaur ancestry going on here, because how could it not be looking at that?
That is absolutely traumatizing, and I would, again, exercise this opportunity to go the alternate route that Dom has chosen to go here and advocate to our listeners to not Google this and protect yourselves from the nightmares that I'm going to have later.
Once you've Googled this and you need some bleach for your eyes and you solely need a palate cleanser, like some adorable baby sheep, for example, then you know where to go to do that.
A baby sheep, I feel, a lamb, I feel fine. I have been around lambs and I feel like it has gone smoothly. It is just the adult sheep that are deeply unsettling to me, but...
As with humans, it's those teenage years where the innocence drops away and they become fully fledged killers.
So the last time that this came up, I don't know if we've mentioned this on air before, and I don't think going to be able to pull up the exact wording here, but I did get a reply on Twitter from the great Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz, who speculated that perhaps my fear of certain animals, particularly farm animals, stems from them being, and I'm paraphrasing here and probably going to do a bad job at this, but there is apparently some sort of like scientific rationale behind animals that are larger than they are smart being displeasing to certain people, if not like everyone.
Sheep are just big woolly himbos, is what you're saying.
Right. The small animals that are less smart are a lot more comfortable, I guess, for most people to be near without freaking out. And inversely, small animals that are like really smart comparatively may make people uncomfortable, and there's like a golden ratio essentially of how big you are and how smart you are being comfortable or uncomfortable. And yeah, that's, again, to go back to the horses and Andrea, like with horses, it is, I trust their intentions for the most part, and I recognize that the vast majority of experiences are probably going to go just fine. It is merely the combination of them being deliberately or otherwise very capable of doing some serious damage to me while also just having no regard for my life, and not in a malicious way. They just don't understand the consequences of their actions. So that is, I think, going to be an aversion that may come up as we move up the scale here along some of these bigger animals. But geese, 61%. I am part of the 61%. although... again, would strongly recommend staying away from ever finding out what the inside of a goose's mouth actually looks like there. But
yeah, so don't let it eat you. You know, try and avoid that fate if at all possible.
But, yeah, I've always thought of myself as a 100 goose size horses person rather than one horse size goose in that classic Reddit example. I now have absolutely no doubt about that being the superior direction to go. So
I mean, there are downsides to that route as well, but we can relitigate those another time.
Okay.
But, our next animal here, we actually have to split this one into two. So we have both large dog and medium-sized dog, and on these results you start to see, you know, it's not like a smooth curve. You start to see a pretty rapid drop off in how many people think they could take each type of animal. So on the aggregate list, we have 50% of the population think they could take a medium-sized dog because either they could or they couldn't. But then only 23% fancy their chances against a large dog. And this is actually where, if you break this down by gender, this is where the difference really starts to emerge, because 60% of men think they could handle a medium-sized dog, and half of those, you know, we cut that in half, think they could handle a large dog. Only 39% of women like their chances against a medium-sized dog, and that drops down to a paltry 15% against a large dog, which you can definitely dive deep into that. But one thing that I wonder here, if I was still in this contest at this point, which I'm not, I've been devoured by a goose long ago at this point, would be, aren't a lot of large dogs actually like much friendlier and much cuddlier than medium-sized dogs? Where the ones I'm most scared of Yeah, maybe there are some big scary dogs, and those are the real heavyweights here, but I would be most terrified of, like, a pit bull or a Rottweiler who's out for blood, as opposed to some, like, you know, adorable, you know, Bernese Mountain Dog or whatever.
That is a fair point that I had not yet considered. Yeah, the dogs I would be most afraid of are probably not the biggest dogs. Like a Saint Bernard probably seems friendlier than, as you flagged up, like a Rottweiler or something along those lines. So worth bearing that in mind. But as far as the hypothetical is concerned, I would guess we're just talking about your generic medium-sized dog that does not have some long and storied history of destruction, and a large dog that is not Beethoven, or is Beethoven a reference that registers with you? By the way, RIP Charles Grodin, who has organically come up now, but a legend who recently passed. Is Beethoven something that was popular in England?
Like the composer, or
yeah, the composer. No, there was a movie franchise called the Beethoven about. I think he was a Saint Bernard. I haven't seen it in a couple of decades at this point, but I would feel much more comfortable being around Beethoven than being around a Rottweiler. But I would imagine that those are not necessarily the dogs they have in mind. I'm thinking medium-sized dog, like reasonable, maybe on the small end kind of lab, and a large dog being more like Great Dane, may be a bit extreme, but like a dog that could definitely tip the scales over 100 pounds.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna need more specifics before answering this question. I guess not for myself, because the answer is just no, flat out, whatever it is. But certainly if you take the average fighter who's been put into the ring to represent all of humanity in this bout, I think it actually does heavily depend on what kind of dog it is.
Yeah, and this is, I think, where the specific animal anatomy starts mattering a bit more for me than it did in the past, where rats and cats have claws that could definitely do some damage to me. I just feel like they don't necessarily have the muscle force behind that would be an enormous problem, in the same way that if a large dog for sure really had it out for me, I'm guessing they could make a pretty reasonable bid there. And I think I'm split down the middle here, where I would feel okay about a dog that's right around, whatever, 50 pounds, less so about a dog that would really take some work to, like, bring down, and that could probably overpower me, but at least conceivably. So I'm going to say, yes, I could for the medium-sized dog, but I think that might be where I now start drawing the line in terms of, with my bare hands, I don't know how many more yeses there are going to be from me, and large dog is probably a no.
All right, so the animal that came in between large and medium dog on this list was an eagle. And I don't actually know if an eagle is like the Matthew von Erfelder line in this quiz, in terms of, like, is it really the case that you add 20 pounds to a dog and it's suddenly much scarier than an eagle? But this is the one that really seems to split public opinion the most, where you have some people saying that, well, an eagle's actually pretty small, doesn't have much your strength behind it, you could pretty easily fend that one off. And then others saying, like, you are absolutely kidding yourself if you think you could survive an eagle that's out to get you.
So, unlike the goose, which in my mind was spending most of the time on the ground and approaching me from that sort of angle, I feel like I've pretty much never seen an eagle just walking around on the ground, certainly not in person, but in any kind of, like, cinematic depictions of eagles. I may be inconsistently here, but am interpreting this from the perspective of the eagle's probably going to be flying around and taking various jabs at you. And again, I feel it is pertinent to flag up, a goose has stupid little webbed feet. An eagle has, like, obscene talons that can absolutely smash you. Smash is the wrong word, but just slice you open. So an eagle is a definite no for me. And I'm frankly shocked that an eagle fell in between the two dog categories. I feel like people in general are vastly overestimating their chances against eagles.
I feel like, more so than maybe any other animal on this list, I have very little sense of how big an eagle actually is, and like how fast it is, you know, exactly how it plans to attack me from what angle. So I, given that, you would think, in the dark, gonna say hard no on an eagle, but, you know, a good, let me see here, a good 30% of the population apparently feels differently.
So this is one where I am now going to start working weapons into the equation here, and I feel like if I had a knife, it would be right around 50-50, where the eagle and its talons would be getting some very solid licks in against me, and I would just have to get lucky with the knife as it was swooping down and horrifying me. But I do think that would at least be conceivable, unlike some of these other animals, frankly, most of these other animals that we're going to be getting to. I feel like I'm at least in the mix if I have a knife against an eagle. So hard no on the way that this question is presented. But for the sake of discussion, while I would absolutely not want to take my chances, even with a knife against an eagle, I think that would at least be a much closer endeavor where potentially I could survive that. Although we are getting, I think, already to the point, like the line at which I feel like many of the people who are saying yes to pretty much every animal that's going to come up subsequently is going to be in for a very rude awakening were they actually faced with this situation.
Yeah, and we are converging on the subset of animals for who not even a full 10% could muster up the confidence to think that they could take these animals in a fight. And once you get down to the low single digits, you encounter what pollsters tend to call the lizard man constant, where whatever question you ask, basically any large enough sample of a general audience, some people are going to answer yes, no matter what the proposition is, no matter if it even makes any sense, if it's a coherent question to ask in the first place, no matter if they've heard the concepts or the people involved in it before. Some people will always just say yes. And so, you know, you would expect, even if in if they were reflective about the question, people did not actually think they could beat an elephant or a lion or so on and so forth. You know, some of them are going to answer yes just to wind up the pulses, which is always a variable you have to account for in these things. And then some people, they dare to dream, Colin, and those dreams may be dashed against the rocks by the lion or the elephant or the gorilla very quickly. But hey, I mean, you get to at least enjoy it while it lasts for a few seconds, I suppose.
Yes. So that is definitely something worth bearing in mind. There are probably people who are answering yes, either because they are delusional or just like for the lulls to try to throw the poll off. So I'm going to be taking the rest of these results here with a heavy grain of salt. But the next animal coming in at 17% on the list that I am looking at, chimpanzee, which I frankly can't believe is this far down the list relative to at least a couple of the other animals that we will get to along the way, just because I feel like the only thing I hear about chimpanzees is that they have like ungodly superhuman strength and can easily destroy any human.
Yeah, this is where, so for some of the previous entries on this list, I myself know that I could not possibly hold a candle to some of these critters. And honestly, I don't think that whoever I'm talking to maybe could hold a candle to them either. But I kind of see why they think they could. With a chimpanzee, if you are part of this 17%, you are delusional. There is no way you are going up against even a baby chimpanzee and living to tell the tale. And my theory here, and tell me what you think about this, I actually think the Planet of the Apes movies and that entire franchise have maybe set people's expectations in the wrong place, where they see this race of, you know, super sentient chimps and apes and gorillas taking on the humans with a stash of human weaponry, right? And they're like, okay, well, in this very contrived fictional timeline, maybe monkeys and humans are on an equal playing field, but surely in the real world, you know, oh, look at that lovable little monkey, I'm sure I could take him. If a chimpanzee wants to, they will fuck you up. They will claw and eat off your entire face and whatever else they feel like at the same time, and just pound for pound, whether it's upper body strength, lower body strength, lust for blood, whatever it is. The chimpanzee has you outmatched. So by all means, please do not, in the real world or in this hypothetical, entertain the idea that you could take a chimpanzee.
Yeah, it does sound like perhaps Charlton Heston's career in propaganda got started sooner than I realized there. but yeah, the chimpanzees are... this is one where the two of us together, each of us having knives, I still feel like we have absolutely no chance. So
you can find truly horrifying news articles of humans who have tried to, you know, adopt chimpanzees or take care of them without proper training, and then you know, a switch flips one day, or they antagonize a chimpanzee without meaning to, and it does not end well, let me tell you.
Oh, it's not even they are people who got in over their heads and didn't realize how much work it would be. It's this person spent their whole life, not literally their whole life, but they were very comfortable being around chimpanzees and knew exactly what to do. And they still got their face ripped off at a certain point because it's a chimpanzee. There's just nothing you can really do for the most part to prevent it from somewhere along the line resorting to its natural kind of impulses there. So don't have a chimpanzee as a pet. That is the official Dom and Colin message of this podcast. But moving on here, Dom, and this is the one where I had in mind the kind of post-fight effects potentially being a bigger deal than necessarily physically overcoming this animal. At six, I'm too far away from my computer screen to read this. Maybe it's 15%. This font is somewhat misleading. Either 15 or 16% felt comfortable with their chances against a king cobra. I guess I haven't Googled this. I assume king cobras are poisonous.
I assume so. And I honestly would not like my chance against just a random snake, but I have no difference what the meaningful distinction, I have no idea what the difference here is meant to be between, let's say, a king cobra, an anaconda, a giant python, a boa constrictor. Maybe some of those terms are redundant because they refer to the same thing. Could not tell you.
I think maybe an anaconda and boa constrictor are very similar. An anaconda is an enormous snake, right? Whereas a king cobra, I don't think it's the size that is necessarily the concern. I think it is the poison that is the concern. And they, from everything I've ever seen, appear to have pretty quick response times to bobbing and weaving and attacking you in fast ways, where I feel like pretty much no one is going to have the upper hand at getting control of the king cobra without the king cobra being able to get in their fangs somewhere along the way.
If I learned anything from Snakes on the Plane, which still has to be one of the defining cultural moments of our generation, it's that snakes, in terms of both quality and quantity, are not something you ever want to seriously go up against.
Snakes on a Plane, which I saw in theaters, non-ironically, an excellent movie. I only saw it that one time, but I very much enjoyed Snakes on a Plane.
It's definitely in that category of not meant to be taken seriously, and one of those so bad that it's kind of good movies, but it actually just is like a genuinely fun, good movie, I think.
Yeah, and to return briefly to something that I flagged up that I'm guessing 0% of people cared about, undetermined what percent felt like they could take this idea in a fight, probably 100%. This is the first time in my whole life that I've been nervous about my eyesight, Dom. I can see, because thankfully one of these other answers has a 6 in it, that it is 15% of king cobras, of people think they can beat king cobras. But I swear, the number that I am looking at is the font equivalent of, like, you'll see memes of someone doing a true or false exam and writing in, like, the perfect symbol that could either be a T or an F, as, like, they've hacked the system. This 5 that I am looking at here on this Mental Floss article is the 5/6 equivalent of that? And I'm guessing this is going to be meaningful to pretty much no one who is hearing me right now, but either that is the case or I am finally, as I have dreaded for many, many years at this point, beginning to have my eyesight deteriorate, which is something that I am very much not looking forward to. So shout out to shout out or reverse shout out, whichever direction you're coming at this from, to whoever created this font that is causing me this sort of anguish here, but a very deceptive 5 in this 15% that I am looking at. But yeah, King Cobra, I feel like while each of us individually would be drawing completely dead, the two of us together, I do think, could take down a King Cobra, which I'm not sure how many other animals we're going to be able to say this about, so I would like to flag that up for the record, that one of us would for sure be the sacrificial lamb, but while the fangs are in the other person, I do feel like the second one could get through and strangle the King Cobra.
This is yeah, I mean, once you get into these hypothetical, like, oh, well, if this exact scenario came to pass, then maybe we stand a chance against the King Cobra. Look, just take the L, I think. let's not get above our station here.
I'm just trying to say, I'm sure you would talk me into being the one who has to go first. And in that scenario, Dom, I feel good about your ability to get the King Cobra down. But
well, it's like that old saying that you don't have to outrun the crocodile. You just have to outrun your friend who's also trying to outrun the crocodile, but kind of in reverse.
Yeah, absolutely. So next up on the list, and this may be the Cinderella story of this entire endeavor for me. Kangaroo has come in with a lower percentage of people, 14%, if my eyes don't deceive me here, just under the chimpanzee and the King Cobra. And again, we are firmly in the territory of neither of us is a yes for any of these last couple and will certainly not be a yes for any of them going forward. But if I had to, like, blind rank the animals that I thought people thought they would be able to take, I feel like I would have had kangaroo coming up before the certainly the chimpanzee and the King Cobra, and honestly maybe even the eagle, but that's not even close as far as the actual results bear out.
This raises an interesting question then of does this have to be transitive? So if it is genuinely true that, for example, you know, a kangaroo is more likely to beat a human in a fight than a large dog is, does that mean the kangaroo would beat the large dog, or can we not make that assumption?
I don't think we can necessarily make that assumption, but I would imagine that there would be a general pattern developing of people stop saying yes at a certain point, and then it's all no's. And I would have thought that kangaroos would have gotten far more yeses than it seems like they got compared to the other animals.
Yeah, I wonder if there's some other kind of a cultural stereotype about kangaroos coming into play here, where you imagine a kangaroo just like hopping up to you and boxing you, and that's lights out, and you never recover from that, or what?
I guess so. I mean, I don't know what it says about. I'd be curious actually to see whether the numbers would be higher or lower for percentage of people that think they could take down a kangaroo in Australia versus compared to everywhere else in the world, where I would guess that Australians have a better grasp of the strengths and weaknesses of a kangaroo, and that would interest me, the numbers in Australia versus globally.
So that's a fun offshoot topic as well, is which nationality of human would you want if you had to place your bets on one to go through this gauntlet here?
I don't know that that is a fun offshoot topic to get into, Tom. Well, not a British person. I can definitely safely say that I would not be taking the British guy.
I mean, if it's a question of, like, biting animals, then we certainly have the dentistry to make that happen. But, like, Americans versus Australians, let's say, is the average sedentary American maybe more poorly equipped for this this ultimate test of endurance than an Australian would be?
I think now that you mention it, I will entertain this hypothetical and say Australian may be exactly where I want to go, if I had to choose one, where they just seem like they are a lot more self-confident and a lot more willing to go out there and get in the mix and scrap it up with whatever animal they are encountering. So you know what? Point made, Dom. Australian, maybe the smart money here.
You want the combination, which is rare and hard to find, of both self-confident and somewhat justified in that self-confidence. And maybe Australia is just a ticket there.
Yeah.
But moving on past kangaroo, we get to wolf, which for my money is just a large dog, but apparently people seem to disagree with me about that.
So this is the thing, is when I think about the large dog, obviously I am aware of their teeth being a factor, although the claws and muscle strength are the primary things that I would be more worried about. When it comes to the wolf, it is very much like the fangs that I feel like are the primary concern there. And yes, while a wolf probably is smaller than the large dog, I feel like maybe it's just bad PR over the years by wolves that they are viewed in this light. But I would be a lot more worried about a wolf really wanting to make a statement against me than I would be about a large dog.
Yeah, I guess I don't know if the difference is so vast that a wolf is categorically more scary than a chimpanzee or a kangaroo or a king cobra compared to your average large dog.
And I actually would say wolf is another one that I would have thought would have come up on this list certainly prior to chimpanzee, king cobra, and maybe even kangaroo.
I think also with wolves, there is the sense of, well, they're these terrifying, scary creatures that you never really see. You only hear them howling in the middle of the night in like Halloween movies, and that's a terrifying omen of what's about to come.
Oh yeah, the wolf definitely has a major mystique factor over the various sized dogs, for sure. You're rarely seeing a wolf in a friendly context the way that you are often seeing, hopefully, all varieties of dogs there. But yeah, wolf, I'm surprised came in at only 12% saying yes, just given some of these other numbers along the way here. But that is still a very optimistic 12% of people, as far as I am concerned. And now, Dom, I believe we are entering the lizard man or whatever category of most of the people for the animals that are remaining on this list are either joking or just completely out of their minds. Not that anyone saying yes to a chimpanzee or a kangaroo isn't already in somewhere in that kind of out of their minds category, as far as I would be concerned. But these remaining animals are like, it is utterly ridiculous, as far as I'm concerned, to even talk yourself into not dying almost immediately against any of these animals.
So the first animal in the lizard man territory is arguably a large lizard, possibly, and that's the mighty crocodile, which I don't know, still don't know what the difference between a crocodile and an alligator is, or which one would deserve to be higher on this list. But grouping them together, perhaps unfairly for the sake of this question, I'm actually a little surprised that the crocodile made it this high up, because I swear I have heard stories of people like actually fending off crocodiles, just like with, I guess, the geometry of the crocodile is the wrong word, but like if you can like get yourself on top of a crocodile and stop it from actually using its teeth to get you, isn't that like a somewhat reliable plan of attack?
Yeah, I think if you could somehow get the mouth shut, you would be in much better shape, although it does seem like they have some pretty natural kind of armor unless you have some sort of weapon. So I would imagine most people would be very hard pressed to actually, if push came to shove, get much of a result against either a crocodile or an alligator. The difference between the two, incidentally, I have Googled many times over the years and always forget and have to Google again, which is exactly what I have just done. So for the record, Dom, alligators have wider U-shaped snouts, like the letter U, while crocodiles have a more pointed V-shaped snout. So that is the difference, and hopefully the people out there do a better job at remembering that than I do. But in either event, I would be very pessimistic about not only my chances, but anyone's chances with their bare hands.
This will be on the test, by the way, so take notes and be sure to internalize that. But Now we get into what I'm going to say is like the A tier of terrifying animals for the sake of this question. And we're going to start here with the gorilla, which I think maybe if you work backwards from this, this is why far too many people fancy their chances against a chimpanzee, where they think, okay, I could not take a gorilla. And you are correct about that. But maybe if the gorilla is small enough, i.e. a chimpanzee, then maybe I'm in with a shot. And that is just not how this works. But the chimpanzee is going to fuck you up. The gorilla may do so in a slightly different way and with more surface area to it, but will fuck you up just as badly itself.
So this is going to sound kind of roundabout in the beginning, but I promise I'm building up to something here. I remember not from hearing about it in real time, but legend has it, and I have heard the legend, that when Michael Jordan was playing in the NBA in the 80s and 90s, when newspaper reporters, back when newspapers were a thing, were particularly critical of him, he would challenge them to play one-on-one and say he would get to 11 points before they would even get a shot off. And that, I believe, is a very accurate assessment of how those one-on-one matches would go. I think we are in the tier of animals that are essentially the Michael Jordans to our newspaper reporters, where not only could no one take any of these animals with their bare hands, I think these last few are animals that pretty much no one would even be able to knock over before they were dead. They would not get a shot off, let alone do any actual damage.
Well, one of the, semi-related polls that made the rounds on Twitter a while back was, what percentage of men think they could take a point off Serena Williams in a tennis match? As you might expect, there were a lot of overconfident answers, rating their chances much higher than they should be. And I don't know if this is like the Serena Williams tier of animals, or if this is the I don't even know who you would assign to the other tiers here. But you are not taking a point off Serena Williams, and you are sure as hell not even landing a scratch on any of the animals on this stage of the list.
Yeah, so we had 9% for crocodile, and that only goes down to 8%. Against the gorilla. But yeah, that 8% is immediately dying if they're actually tested on this. And 8%, incidentally, as well for both of these next two, where first we have the elephant, which one I don't think generally considers to be a like particularly violent animal, although I'm confident that if an elephant wanted to, it could probably do plenty of damage to most other animals in nature. But I always, when watching my planets Earth and other things in the extended David Attenborough universe, I feel like elephants are presented well, and they're usually eating plants and getting water from whatever resources they can find on their journey back to their 400 mile journey back to where they were born 30 years ago that they still somehow remember by heart. I feel like elephants, inversely to some of the other animals that we've talked about before, have exceptionally good PR PR in general, I suppose, where to me, the elephant equation really just comes down to elephants are absolutely enormous. And what are you going to conceivably do to take an elephant?
Right. I feel like for certainly most of the other animals on this part of the list, there is a large aggression multiplier, if you like, where they want to fuck you up and they have the tools to do it. With elephants, most of the time, they just want to mind their own business, as far as I can tell. But if the situation calls for it, they can defend themselves or defend their young, I think is mainly where they, this capacity for aggression can come out. Elephants are certainly more like ungainly in this regard than your gorillas or your lions or your bears and so on. But the elephant, just in terms of sheer tonnage, has everyone else covered. And honestly, if you had to draft these animals, if they were going up against each other, would the elephant be the number one overall pick?
I don't believe so. I think I have seen enough of the planet Earth that I would guess some elephants get taken down by some faster smaller predators with some very meaningful claws and fangs, and those are the final couple of animals that we will be getting to. I think each of these would fit pretty squarely into that category, where it takes generally a few of them working as a team to bring down the elephant, but they can definitely get the job done. And so also coming in here at 8%, Dom, we have the lion. And I feel like I have seen lions, if not even slightly smaller animals, able to overcome elephants on those David Attenborough documentaries that I love so much. I am a David Attenborough myself. So lions, 8%. And then the final animal, and we'll talk momentarily about lions, but I want to hit quickly while the numbers are pertinent, that we go from 8% for lions, 8% for elephants, 8% for gorillas, down to 6% for grizzly bears. And again, no one is actually putting in any sort of realistic bid as a human against any of these animals, but it does interest me that there is some 2% of the population that thinks, oh yeah, I could easily take, not necessarily easily, but I could take a gorilla, I could take the elephant, I could take the lion, but grizzly bear is where I draw the line.
I honestly wish I had the confidence of those people. It would make life so much easier. But this does raise the point of, is it the same 6% for a gorilla, 8% for a crocodile, and so on and so forth? Or is it distinct subsets of the population who have the good sense in all other regards to know, yeah, I could not take kangaroo, wolf, crocodile through a grizzly bear, but I sure as hell could take a lion or an elephant, right? Like, are there people who are like drastically underrating one animal for one reason or another?
I feel like this may lend itself more to trying to figure out how many people are just more or less blindly clicking yes on the lizard man principle, where we can at least rule out that it's the entire 8% just because something did come in lower. But I have a very, very difficult time imagining that even a number approaching 1% of people filling out this survey actually thought that they could take a grizzly bear if need be. So I think 6% may just be the baseline number for people blindly saying yes. And it's really more like 0% of people think they could actually take a grizzly bear, and 2% of people think they could actually take a lion. Like, I think subtracting 6% from a lot of these numbers could make a lot more sense.
Yeah, part of me is surprised that the grizzly bear is the number one scariest animal on this list, because you would think, you know, a lion or an elephant or something might be higher instead. And as far as I don't know if this is true for brown bears or black bears. I know it's maybe true of one, but not for the other, and you can't really tell which it is until it's bearing down upon you, so think quick. But can't you dissuade one of them by, like, making yourself big and flapping your arms around and making loud noises, and that scares the bear away? I'm pretty sure, though, that doing that is the worst thing you can do to antagonize the other type. So it's a high variance game you're playing there. But
that's a coin flip you're going to want to win.
Yeah, just in terms of you are all in on the river in that spot. Yeah, but just in terms of like scaring the animal away, like let's say this encounter is taking place in the wild, I feel like that's more possible with some makes of bear, some breeds of bear, than it is for some of the other, like, super predators on this list.
That is a very fair point. I have heard the same thing about bears, at least potentially some sorts of bears, being vulnerable to that kind of high level defense that humans may be able to pull on them. And with that in mind, I think I may say that the lion would have been my number one pick if all of these animals were, like, forced to fight against each other. But at the same time, while recognizing the scope and strength of adult lions and the damage, the catastrophic damage that they can do, just describing it as damage doesn't even feel adequate considering their status throughout just the course of the history of nature. But grizzly bears are absolutely no joke, and I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but it wouldn't surprise me if grizzly bears are much bigger than it than the average person thinks that they are, and maybe I'm just totally off base on that, and people have a very clear idea on the general size of grizzly bears, but when you combine sheer mass with strength, claws, and teeth, I would have a hard time coming up with an animal that I would feel comfortable betting on against a grizzly bear, including the lion, including the elephant, including the gorilla.
I think the thing that puts the grizzly at the top is that for most of the other, like, god tier animals, you are not getting any in any kind of a scrabble with them unless you really go out of your way to seek that out, right? Like, maybe if you go on some African safari and you literally go off the reservation and then you know, end up in the wilderness somewhere, you could get stampeded by an elephant, or you could you know, run into a lion or a gorilla or something. But unless you are on, like, the unless you are on Tiger King, right? Like, you are not encountering a lion, you don't have to worry about the lion messing you up. But that is the fear of anyone who goes, like, camping in the wilderness, right? It's that, oh, there's going to be a grizzly there, and you have to know what to do when the time comes, and better make sure you have this bear spray so that you can ward this off. Whereas I don't feel like there's a good trade being done in elephant spray or gorilla spray, really, because that's just not something that you really have to be concerned with.
Yeah, and, I mean, if you go up so again...
And so you do hear these stories of someone encountering a bear and getting the mauling of a lifetime.
Absolutely, yeah. They are never going to recover financially from their interactions with, frankly, any of these animals near the bottom end of this list, Dom. But yeah, grizzly bear, I think, is understandable as kind of the end boss of the animal fight there. What else, if anything, did you feel was pertinent to address today, Dom, in our violence against animals that we are not into actually fighting podcast?
I will note, if you want to make the case for a lion, the lion is the only animal that I can recall on this list that has the biblical endorsement, where it is no coincidence that God had to send down an angel to rescue Daniel from the lions. You know, didn't have to do that with an elephant or a gorilla, which, to my knowledge, was not in the Bible, but you get where I'm going with this.
There's a whale also, in the Bible. Where's the whale factor in?
Actually, yeah, the whale might be the number one animal, honestly. Like, if you're in the ocean and the whale wants to eat you, well, the whale's going to eat you, and that's all there is to it. And that actually that also goes if you are an elephant or a lion or a grizzly bear, and you end up shipwrecked, you know, treading water in the Pacific somewhere. Like, the whale, you might be its food for the next week or two. But
aren't pretty much all animals, at least in passing, in the Bible with Noah's Ark?
Oh, I guess so. Just, like, actually, by definition, yeah, I guess they would
be. Yeah, so not only are lots of animals in the Bible, pretty much all animals are in the Bible.
Well, only the New Testament is canon anyway, so we can...
It's not your fault. You only went to 12 years of Catholic school, so
very
understandable.
But also, the lion is, when you look at the gender crosstab on this, every other animal... more men than women think they could take the animal in question in a fight. And for some reason, the one exception is the lion, which, granted, it is only by 1 point, and there are not that many points in it anyway. It's 7% of women, 8% of men. But 7% of men, 8% of women, excuse me. But surely you would think, if any animal would be the symbol of, like, masculine hubris, like, oh, sure, I could take a lion, surely it would be the lion, right? And yet that's the one where maybe some of them are starting to see sense.
That is an interesting statistic there, and I don't, off the top of my head, have any kind of explanation for that, other than maybe the lions are doing a lot better in the PR department than I have necessarily given them credit for. If it, you know, they are really just a big cat, right, Dom? That they're literally categorized as big cats in...
Well, those of us who have seen what damage a small cat can do to you can extrapolate from there and have reason to be fearful.
Yeah, you can end this podcast and go back to living in perpetual fear of ravioli very shortly. But anything else that you wanted to get to this week?
I think that just about does it for that.
Okay. Well, that is going to wrap it up for us here. I gotta say, Dom, we've done many, many podcasts, probably thousands of hours of podcasting over the years. I don't know that I ever saw this one coming, and I'd be curious to see what, if anything, ever tops this on the list of unexpected podcasts that we end up doing. But I had a good time. Hopefully the listeners out there enjoyed this as well. Again, in no way advocating for any sort of violence against animals, merely a hypothetical experiment there. But until next week, he is, of course, on Twitter, at DomHRV. I am on Twitter, at Colin Stone. Bonus episodes going up every Saturday over on the Patreon feed at patreon.com/DomandColin. Actually, this week we just did, I think, a pretty fun episode talking through people who bubbled the finals on Survivor, the day 38 eliminations over the history of 40 seasons worth of Survivor. So patreon.com/DomandColin if you would like some actual reality TV content coming your way this week. But I'm sure we'll be back next week with something more along those lines. But until then, take care, everybody.